Shabbat Shalom. I entitled the parasha, Are You Up to the Task? This week's Torah portion is entitled Noach, covering Genesis 6, 9 through 11, 32. It tells us about the catastrophic worldwide flood which destroyed all life on earth, except for Noah, his family, and ancestral pairs of animals. But the flood isn't the main theme. The theme is what it means to be the remnant. Noah, a righteous man living in the midst of a godless society, had a unique relationship with the Creator and was willing to look foolish for the sake of obedience. That obedience, his trust in God, shielded Noah and his family from judgment. Three very important words, three key words appear at the beginning of this parasha. Noach ish tzadik. Noah was a righteous man. Moses tells us that Noah was blameless and walked with God. And the word used to describe him is tamim. And tamim has this idea of completeness, having integrity. Now, contrast that with God's verdict about the rest of mankind. It says, God looked on the earth and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh, all mankind had corrupted their way upon the earth. The murder of Abel by Cain seems to have been just the beginning. Sin spread rapidly through mankind like an aggressive virus. And the whole world was filled with bloodshed. What follows is a story known the world over. God instructs Noah to build an ark of gopher wood, 450 feet long, that's a football field and a half, by 75 feet by 45 feet, three decks high, lined with pitch, in which he and his family and representative pairs of animals will be sheltered from the coming deluge. From these ancestral pairs, the earth will be repopulated. You know, there are numerous stories of a great worldwide flood that have actually come down to us from literally every continent of the world. The Chaldeans told us about Xisuthros, the Sumerians of Xiosudra, the Assyrians of Utnapishtim, the Babylonians of Atrahasis, the Maasai in East Africa of Tumbanot, and there are others. Now, most of these flood stories from all the continents have common elements to them. Humanity's pervasive wickedness, one faithful man, instructions to build an ark or a ship, the amassing of animals to accompany him on the ship, and a flood which wipes out the rest of mankind. Some argue that these common flood stories just prove that the early chapters of Genesis are just mythology. On the contrary, I believe it proves that there really was a real catastrophic worldwide flood that everybody knew about, taking place in antiquity, and that the variations in those stories arose as the people had been separated into their nations and by languages. I also believe that where these other accounts differ from the God-inspired account in Genesis, they are in error. From these four families, Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives, the earth was repopulated. God told them upon exiting the ark, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, just as he had commanded Adam and Eve. Now, however, things will be different. Animals will now fear humans who will have dominion over them. Sadly, some things will remain exactly the same. In chapter 11, we see that mankind is bent on rebellion against God, determined to make a name for themselves. And so they build a ziggurat, a great tower, to show their disdain for his authority. Well, God took notice and turned what had been our common language into babbling, scattering us over the face of the earth, eventually to build separate nations. The parasha ends with a genealogy, Shem's genealogy. We see the beginnings here of a chosen lineage. It will not be through Ham or through Yafet that Israel will emerge, but through Shem. And Shem's genealogy leads us at the end of chapter 11 to Terah and his sons. And we are introduced to one particular son of Terah named Avram. This Avram, Abram, will have a unique relationship with God, much as Noah did. And the history, which is of particular importance to us, begins here with this man, Avram. But understand something. This isn't very long after Adam and Eve. The Genesis chronology puts Methuselah's death just before the flood, and Methuselah's life and Adam and Eve's overlapped by about 200 years. My point is that these people knew about God. They didn't honor him, but they knew about God. And as thoroughly evil as humanity had become, what do you want to bet they were religious? We are religious by nature. Even rebels are religious. The thing is, we want to do religion on our terms. That's one of the reasons, by the way, you'll never hear me use the term unchurched to describe people who don't know the Lord. Do we really think that the problem is that they don't attend religious services as though going to a religious service is the cure? And one is as good as another? We should say what we mean. They are unsaved. On a trajectory toward eternal judgment. Unsaved, if you think about it, sounds a whole lot more urgent than unchurched. We haven't been honest with ourselves about the urgency and the command to do evangelism. And rather than repent of our complacency, what do? We adjust our vocabulary. There is a sobering message for us in the account of Noah, for there is a great final judgment coming upon the earth, and human beings have just two options: get in the boat, as it were, or perish. Getting in the boat may require you to endure some ridicule. Are you up to the task? I'll bet Noah was the laughingstock of the community while laboring over that enormous ark. True faith is evident when a person willingly endures ridicule or even outright hostility for the sake of obedience to God. That's how you know faith. And unfortunately, it usually escalates. Laughter and insult eventually give way to intimidation and threats and eventually some kind of an attack. Yeshua warned us that in the generation of his return, the world will be as it was in the days of Noah. People will be going about their business, indifferent to God, belittling the notion of judgment, eating and drinking and marrying. And Yeshua tells us they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. Friends, we need to be people of discernment. His return is near. We must be ready for it. And we've got to warn others. Yeshua is our ark of salvation from the coming judgment. But just as it was at the flood, when the door closes on that ark, you're either safely inside or you will surely perish. Amen.